Fellu il-mit anniversarju mill-mewt ta' Gustav Mahler, il-kompożitur u direttur orkestrali famuż Awstrijak, Campus FM jippreżenta Gustav Mahler, mużika għall-ħajja u lil-in. Kitba, produzzjoni, prezentazzjoni Joyce Gulaimir. Inselm il-kom u l-istedinkom biex tinaqdu miha jillum ukoll biex flimkien insiru nafu iktar dwar minn kien u x'għamel fil-mużika dan għall-mużiċista Gustav Mahler li l-influenza tiegħu għadha tinħass llum, anzi kolli ngħid li forsi llum napprezzawh iktar milli meta kien għadu ħaj. Fil-fatt, bilkemm titwemmen li l-uvri tiegħu hi pjuttost żgħira, konna tkellimna fl-ewwel programm dwar xogħlijiet operistiċi li minnhom tista' tgħid ma fadal xejn kollox intilef kollox tqatta'. U mbagħad kien jagħti ħafna importanza lis-sinfonija. Li minna, minn dan il-ġeneru ta' mużika, kiteb 9 sħaħ u 10 waħda hija biss biċċa żgħira lista minna. Imma kiteb ukoll song cycles u kiteb kwartett għal pjanu wieħed mela l-uvr tiegħu ma tantx kienet kbira. 9 sinfoniji sħaħ u waħda parzjalment. Song cycles u kwartett għal pjanu. Għaliex kien iktar infittex bħala direttur ta' orkestra u manager ta' teatri milli bħala kompożitur ħaġa li kienet lilu twelġaw immensament. Dawn għal-biċċa kbira tal-10 sinfoniji tiegħu huma xogħlijiet kbar anke tkellimna diġà fi programmi oħrajn dwar l-ispazji li kien qiegħed joħloq billi jkollu strumenti mhux fuq il-palk imma f'inħawi oħra ta' madwar il-palk dan biex dejjem joħloq l-idea tal-kobor tal-univers tal-ispazju li huwa dawarna tal-ħajja li forsi teżisti x'imkien ieħor. Dawn kienu affarijiet li kienu jippreokkupaw ħafna. Mela kien ikollu ħafna xogħlijiet kbar li kien juża għalihom forsi strumentali kbar. Ħafna drabi kif qed ngħidilkom anki miżjuda kien iżid lemmulaw gruppi ta' strumentalisti li kienu jduqqu f'inħawi oħra tal-palk u kien jinkludu wkoll korijiet u solisti vokali għaliex hu kien dejjem irid li jdaħħal il-vuċi li kien iqisha bħala strumenti ieħor tal-mużika. Kważi kollha sabu reżistenza meta saru l-ewwel darba għajr is-Sinfonija numru 8. U damu biex kisbu għarfien kritiku u popolari. Iżda kien hemm grupp ta' kompożituri li ġew warajh, dawk magħrufa bħala Second Vienna School, it-tieni skola ta' Vienna li waqqafha Arnold Schoenberg li tajjeb ngħidilkom li qiegħda nipprepara programm propju dwar Arnold Schoenberg u kif Mahler influwenzah. U barra Arnold Schoenberg kien hemm ukoll Alban Berg, kien hemm Anton Webern li kienu allievi ta' Schoenberg, Benjamin Britten u oħrajn li kienu jammiraw u li l-influenza tiegħu tinħass anke f'xogħlijiethom. Dawn jirrappreżentaw il-mużika tat-tieni nofs tas-seklu 20 u kien propju fl-1955 li twaqqaf l-Istitut Internazzjonali Gustav Mahler biex jonora t-tifkira tiegħu u biex jagħtih ġieħ. Aħna din is-sena qegħdin infakru il-mitt sena minn mewtu propju biex nonorawh u biex nagħtuh ġieħ. Iżda ħalli nsejħulu għal darba oħra biex ikompli għatina iktar tarif dwar ħajtu. U biex waslilna dan it-tarif bħalma tafu għandna lil George Peresso.
Thank you. Insemmilkom għal darba oħra. Illum nixtieq inkellimkom dwar żmien importanti li għaddejt Budapest, il-belt kapitali tal-Ungerija, fejn mort wara li kont għaddejt sentejn f'Leipzig. Jiġifieri jiena kont f'Leipzig, il-belt li marbuta ħafna ma' Johann Sebastian Bach. Bejn l-1886 u l-1888, fejn anke ktibt l-ewwel sinfonija tiegħi u song cycle Wunderhorn. F'Leipzig kont immexxi The New City Theatre u tellajt 122 serata. Imdalla tlaqt minn kassel għax hemm ma kont tal-qalbi xejn. Kollu minħabba Treiber li donnu kien ħalef li ħarbat li ħajti. Qabel mort Leipzig kont tagħmel sena Praga li dak iż-żmien kienet għaddejja minn qawwim minn kbir nazzjonali li wasal bil-ftuħ tat-Teatru Nazzjonali Ċekk. Hemmhekk ksibt suċċess malajr meta tellajt sensiela ta' opri ta' Mozart u Wagner illi niżlu għasel. Iżda kont meqjuż bħala bniedem pjuttost dittatorjali, speċjalment bil-mod li kont nimxi mal-orkestra u niddiriġi. Kien għalhekk li tlaqt minn Praga u mort f'Leipzig, bħal mettilkom tiġa. Hemm kont għamilt ħabib ma' Karl Maria von Weber, mhux il-kompożitur, imma Ibn Ibnu u għamilt traskrizzjoni tal-opra Di Drei Pintos, tan-nannu Weber s'intendi. Il-premier tal-opra li fija daħħal xi kompożizzjonijiet tiegħi sar fl-Istat Theater tal-1888. Fost il-mistennin kien hemm Tchaikovsky u dirigenti oħra minn ħafna teatri differenti. Għamilt suċċess b'dak ix-xogħol u ħafna bdew isuni u jħarsu lejja b'daw differenti. Imma kollox ġie fit-tmiem minħabba avventura amuruża sfortunata li kelli. Kont diġà ħabib tal-familja, imma issa bdejt ninġibed lejn Marion, il-mara ta' Karl. Hi kienet miġbuda lejja wkoll, imma ma kinitx lesta tabbanduna l-żewġa u l-familja u minħabba f'hekk l-istorja bejn jedna spiċċat fix-xejn. Kien f'dan iż-żmien diskoprejt fid-dettali l-poemi folkloristiċi des Naben Funderhorn li iddominawni għal ħafna żmien. Peress li finanzjarjament kont tajjeb sajt nitlaq mix-xogħol f'Leipzig u mort għal darb'oħra Praga, imma erġajt kelli xi ngħid waqt rehearsals ta' opra u tlaqt minn hemm. Mort Vienna. Kien il-ħabib tiegħi Guido Adler li sab li xogħol fir-Real Hungarian Opera ta' Budapest. Li batu għalija l-intervista, impressjonajt il-bordu u offrew li xogħol bħala direttur ta' teatru. Bdejt fl-1888, kien żmien ta' gloria jkolli ngħid, u ta' traġedji personali. Biss ngħidilkom li fl-1989 mit missieri. Ftit wara mietet oħti Leopoldine, kif ukoll mietet ommi. Fi żmien qasir tliftom kollha, imma mnalla li kont għaddej fuq ħidma bla nifs marbuta mat-Teatru Rjal f'Budapest għax kieku kont titlef moħħi żgur. Hemmhekk sibt ruħi involut fil-konflitt jaħraq bejn l-Ungheriżi nazzjonalisti tradizzjonali konservattivi li rridu jkollhom biss il-kultura Ungheriża u oħrajn progressivi li rridu li fil-pajjiż ikun hemm influenzi Awstrijaċi Ġermaniżi. Fit-teatru kelli inħabba twiċċi ma' grupp immexxi minn Sandor Erkel li kien jinsisti li fit-teatru kellhom isiru biss opri folkloristiċi. Femt li kelli nimxi b'delikatezza kbira, biex ma nirfes ebda kallu. U fil-fatt, tillajt żewġ opri Ġermaniżi ta' Wagner, imma bil-lingwa Ungheriża. Iżda is-suċċess ma tantx dam, u pjani biex intella ir-ring kollu ta' Wagner sfaxxaw. Minflok ipproponejt il-Kavallerija Rustikana ta' Maskani li kienet ikolla suċċessi enormi tul l-Europa kollha. Issa għandkom tkunu tafu li f'dak il-perjodu ma kontx wisq sekti. Il-ħafna battikati li għaddejt minnhom kif ukoll vjaġġar estensiv wasluni biex imbagħti minnu ġeħ taras kbir. Kelli wkoll problemi serji f'gerżumti u bdejt imbagħti wkoll bil-morliti li komplew jamlu li ħajti inferna. Imma dawn l-inkonvenjenzi ma fissru xejn ħdejn id-diżappunt li ħassejt meta l-ewwel sinfonija tiegħi ingħatat il-premier u qalet xeba kritika ħarxa mingħand il-kritiċi li wħud minnhom kienu ħbib tiegħi sewwa. Il-premier tas-sinfonija seħħ fil-21 ta' Novembru 1889 u dakinhar kritiċi magħrufa sostnew li l-ewwel sinfonija tiegħi konfermat li jinkon tajjeb bħala sul-mast imma mhux bħala kompożitur. Dawn il-kwistjonijiet kollha wasluni biex naħseb li ndabbar rasi u nitlaq minn Budapest. Fil-fatt bdejt taħtitiet mad-direttur tat-Teatru ta' Hamburg u billi ftemna fl-1891 irreżinjajt minn Budapest u mort Hamburg fil-Ġermanja. Allumna qafgħu. Darb'oħra nitkellmu dwar id-djar tal-villeġġjatura li kelli u l-pattern li stabbilejt biex inkun nista' nikkomponi.
Mija fl-studio għandi l-Sur Mast Internazzjonali għandi l-Maestro Wayne Marshall li mijaw se nitkellem dwar il-mużika ta' Mahler, partikolarment dwar l-ewwel sinfonija li naf li huwa wkoll id-derieġa ma' orkestra barranija. Thank you very much, Wayne, for coming to the studio.
Thank you, it's good to be here.
For this brief talk about Gustav Mahler. I know that you are very much interested in Gustav Mahler. You have even conducted one of his symphonies.
Yes, I mean, Gustav Mahler is a composer whose music is very, very significant in the repertoire. And, I mean, I conducted the first symphony in Milan a few years ago with the Orchestra Verdi.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first conducting experience of Mahler. But of course I've known his music, you know, for a long time. And I mean, he's a composer who, you know, I think if one can talk about his music in a way that in a way he was the ultimate symphonist in most ways. I mean, because his music varies.
You mean he finished the tradition of Beethoven, Brahms and all the other great German symphonists?
One can say that. I mean, of course, that they are the, you know, they were the foundations for his output. But I mean, the language that he wrote, that the language that he evoked, I should say, is probably more important, it's multilingual in a sort of musical sense. It's romantic, it's post-romantic, it's quite modern, it's, you know, there's so many aspects of his musical language which I think helped to contribute to his output as a composer.
Unfortunately, he didn't have much success with the audience during his lifetime.
Well, all his symphonies in some ways had some kind of controversy. I mean, you know, because of the form that he took. I mean, he was obviously obsessed with form and the sheer scale of his symphonies, you know, certainly were longer than any Beethoven or Brahms symphony. Mm-hmm. Written before.
He wanted to break the pattern of a four-movement symphony.
That's right, yes. And so many different aspects of life, of experience came into his music. And in some ways, I mean, obviously that was quite controversial, you can imagine, in the early, you know, early 19th century. I mean, obviously very, very controversial. But I mean, in some ways, I mean, his style is so personal and so unique. You know, I mean, he wrote 10 symphonies. I mean, the 10th is not complete.
Nine are finished.
Yeah, nine are finished.
One is not complete. The number 10 is not complete.
Not complete. But they're all different. And of course, he was obsessed, of course, with death. And, you know, one can look at, say, from the 5th symphony onwards, this obsession with death, and the march is central in Mahler's music.
When you come to direct Gustav Mahler, I know that when you come to direct any work of any composer, you have to do a lot of work privately, you have to study the script, you have to understand what the composer really meant with his composition. Is it more difficult with Mahler, or is it just run-of-the-mill like all other composers?
Well, I wouldn't say run-of-the-mill. I mean, you know, his scores are very complex, and in some ways, I mean, his scores are very exact as well, because, I mean, all, you know, I think all his markings were...
Do you follow his markings?
Well, to some extent, yes. I mean, but I mean, the guide is there already. But I mean, everything is personal. I mean, you know, I mean, no two recording of Mahler symphonies is the same. So, you know, but I mean, I think that the outline and the structure is there to look at and to observe.
He wasn't an easy person.
He was a difficult person, troubled, obviously. But you know, I mean.
Do you find that in his work too?
Of course. In that, you know, I mean, one can't sort of write music and without a kind of personal experience of events that are happening round about you. You know, if you're suffering a personal tragedy of a death or, you know, something like that in the family or, you know, friends or the particular situation of the time of life. I mean, this is going to affect your writing. And it certainly all of these aspects had an effect on Mahler's writing.
Some writers describe him as a romantic composer, other as a post-romantic composer. Are these tags, these labels, important?
Every composer...
Do they signify an age, an era?
Well, in some ways, I mean, but, I mean, whether they're important or not, I mean, it's just a fact of, you know, the style that was around at the time. And I think Mahler falls into two schools, you know, certainly romantic and post-romantic. But, I mean, if you think of other composers like Webern, Berg, Schoenberg, you know, the second Viennese school, I mean, who... again went in another completely different direction. Mm-hmm. but influenced, of course, by Mahler, how could they not be? You know, we can sort of label them in one way, but I mean, every composer, of course, has a kind of style which is I suppose important for that time and significant.
I've heard Michael Tilson Thomas and Thomas Hansen and Susan Graham and Pierre Boulez and Lorin Maazel give their views about Mahler and his music, and they have put some, they have given some very unusual descriptions to what Mahler is, what people think about when they think of Mahler. Like, his work is full of humor, his music is exuberant, his music is erotic, his music is very personal and direct. Do you agree with any of these labels stuck on his music?
Humorous. I mean, one could take the first symphony in a way and the second movement. No, the third movement, actually.
We're going to hear part of it.
We'll hear both of the third movement. March theme, and then, of course, Frère Jacques.
Frère Jacques, yes. Was known as Bruder Martin.
Right, yeah.
In Vienna.
How he used this theme so brilliantly. And then, of course, you have this sort of image of this Kletzmer band somewhere, a Jewish band with this little, you know, interruption. One could sort of take that further a step further. Look at Charles Ives, who again mm-hmm. was another controversial American composer,
but they're very different.
Yes, but I mean the way that he used the sounds around him in his music to describe, you know, things that were happening in New York or wherever, you know. A passing car or a band or something, and all of these comes in the same way that, you know, that Mahler used this theme in the first symphony. But, you know, as I said, one can...
Would you call him erotic?
Erotic? It depends, really. I mean, which symphony are we talking about? I mean, one could talk about I don't know.
Number five, perhaps.
Well,
Death and Venice, maybe, because of that.
Well, yeah, but that's that came later, of course. But I mean, the Adagio is a wonderful. Would I describe it as being erotic? No, I would probably just describe it as being.
But he had
romantic.
Quite a few amorous adventures during his lifetime.
Yes, of course. But I mean, you know, who didn't? You know, I mean,
of course, made him a man. No,
made him a man. So. but I think that he, you know, he just used...
He didn't keep back.
No, he didn't hold back. And he just was able to, you know, give his all in his output, and I think that the end result of his symphony says, you know, there are real true testaments.
Is his music important in the history of music?
Very, as I said at the beginning, that, you know, I mean, I think that in a way he was probably the ultimate symphonist, because he, I mean,
so why were people so much against his music, and there still are, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, I'm not, obviously I'm not going to sort of go into the political aspects of this, but I think that, you know, because of, you know, because everything was always so different.
Was it because he was Jewish?
Could be.
You've mentioned the modernists, you know, the second Viennese school. One of the authors about who wrote about Gustav Mahler wrote that he was not in favor of the modernists, and yet we know that Schoenberg, that Alban Berg, that Webern, they all followed. He was a great influence on them. If they did not follow his style,
of course,
yet they were greatly influenced by his view on music.
Sound world, yeah. I mean, how could they not be? I mean, this is the thing.
Was he a modernist? Do you think he was a modernist?
I wouldn't say a modernist in the way that we would describe modernist in today's...
He wasn't definitely a minimalist.
No, he wasn't a minimalist either. But, I mean, I think that his style at that time, I mean, when was he born? He was, what, 1860, I think I made a note here. I'm focused on the... Yeah, 1860, 1911. I mean, you know, lots of things going on at that time and so on. So, but in... Yeah, I mean, one could say that his style, if you compare what was going on at the time, say, today, with composers... In some ways, he might well have been, in terms of what was going on at that time, in historically speaking. But I think that what he achieved, I mean, this small output, this very small output. I mean, he didn't write a piano concerto, he didn't write a mass, he didn't write an oratorio, he didn't write any choral music.
His output was rather small,
very,
actually.
Very small, very small. But still, I mean, he condensed everything into these 10 symphonies in a way that, you know, was. That his lifetime almost, I mean, was obviously very short, but still, I mean, but what he wrote was so amazing. I mean, it's a staple diet of most orchestras' repertoire today, and the you know, the approach to Mahler is still, I think, you know, his music has to be taken seriously, and it's very, very, how do I put it, it's a staple diet.
Mm-hmm. It's very important.
Yeah, very.
It's a continuation of what had happened, linking it, because it came natural to him, you know, being a bridge between the old school and the modern world.
Of course. And there's always someone. I mean, he was that person that came up then, and I suppose...
So probably composers. One of the reasons why his music was not liked was because he was presenting different music.
He was presenting different music, but he was presenting music in a way that was obviously personal to him and outlining the changes that was happening in society and in the world at that time.
When you are preparing yourself to interpret any composer, do you have to take into consideration the atmosphere when it was written, what the world was like at that particular time? Do you take these into consideration as well?
Yeah, I mean...
Do they affect your interpretation of the work?
In some ways, they do. I mean, one has to remember, you know, that obviously the composer wrote the music, and one has to be, try to be faithful to that. And it's good to bear in mind the situation. I mean, let's just sidestep for a minute. Let's take, for instance, the work of George Gershwin, The American in Paris. When George Gershwin went to Paris. In the early,
he was very much influenced.
Yes, of course, by Paris and the situation, and you know, obviously, he was able then to incorporate
the sound
Paris, world, yes. the speed of what important. Was going on, the smells of Paris, the whole life, and in that work, then you know, you can really hear it.
So, what scape, any scape, any soundscape or lightscape or whatever comes to mind when you talk of Gustav Mahler and his music?
Well, one can think of the countryside, one can think of beauty, one can think of death, one can think of so many different aspects. That's the certain thing, you know. I mean, humor, yes, death, yes, eroticism in some ways, yes, so many different aspects.
Mm.
It's, you know, I mean, it's, for me, it's a very, very complex situation, obviously, his music. I mean, it's fantastic. I love it. And so, but it's very challenging, very demanding.
Do you intend to direct any other work by Mahler?
I would love to.
It wouldn't be possible to direct one in Malta, would it? Except his song Cycle, because they are written for a smaller orchestra.
Well, here in Malta it would be difficult to, I mean, it's not impossible, but I mean, you could, you know, I mean, the Eighth Symphony would be challenging here, I think. The First Symphony certainly would be is possible. But it's just that the sheer scale of instruments that are required, extra instruments. I mean, you know, look at the Sixth Symphony. There's,
do you agree with his idea about placing different instruments in a different position than usually we are used to that? Or having an offstage orchestra, for example, or offstage trumpets?
I agree with all of that. I mean, many composers have done that, and that's not... That's,
what, were they still new at the time?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, I mean, of course, one could take into consideration the Resurrection Symphony number 2, mm-hmm. where you have this offstage brass
orchestra,
ensemble.
Yes.
You know, obviously, he was creating a different effect. He was hearing something, you know, more as a kind of spiritual or heavenly experience, and therefore the only way that he could translate that to music was to have it, you know, have them playing off stage. And of course, one needs to have the space to do it in. I mean, you know, a big concert hall where you have, you know, facilities to have an offstage orchestra.
And what did you want to get across to the audience when you directed the First Symphony? What was it that spurned your head?
Well, I mean, it's the work. I mean, the First Symphony is so different from any of these other symphonies. I mean, no other symphony is like it. I mean, in a way, the First Symphony is probably more, how do I kind of put it? It's probably more classical in a way compared to the others. It's not as demanding a work as number 2 or any of the subsequent symphonies, but it's purely an orchestral work. There are no soloists or chorus involved in it, and I wanted to concentrate obviously on, you know, the rhythmic aspect of the second movement, this storm in the beginning of the fourth movement, and you know, this idea of the folklore aspect of the first movement. So just to convey the whole overall picture of the piece as being a very, very youthful work. But of course it was a youthful work.
I think it's about time we hear some of the music.
Well, let's hear some.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you.
Thank you.
U b'dawk il-movimenti mill-ewwel sinfonija ta' Gustav Mahler li smajna l-orkestra diretta mill-mistilja li kellu jiġifieri minn Maestro Wayne Marshall jiena wasalt fit-tmiem ta' dana il-programm. Nirringrazzja lil dawk kollha li ħadu sehem li George Peresso lil Maestro Wayne Marshall, nirringrazzja wkoll it-tekniku lil Carmenu Grek, nirringrazzja lilkom, nirringrazzja lil Martin Spiteri, nirringrazzja lil Damato tad-diski. Grazzi ħafna nistilinkom tkunu miegħi il-ġimgħa d-dieħla. Smajtu Gustav Mahler. Musika għal-ħajja u l-lin. Kidba produzzjoni prezentazzjoni ta' Joyce Gulaimir, program għal Campus FM.